Elijah, come on up, man.
Sing, barren woman.
It's Isaiah 54. We're a family that don't care much about details, you know. We'll just read and you guys figure it out. It's in the Bible, I promise. Isaiah 54, verse 1.
Sing, barren woman, you who never bore a child. Burst into song, shout for joy, you who were never in labor. Because more are the children of the desolate woman than of her who has a husband, says the Lord. Enlarge the place of your tent, stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back, lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes, for you will spread out to the right and to the left. Your descendants will dispossess nations and settle in their desolate cities. Do not be afraid. You will not be put to shame. Do not fear disgrace. You will not be humiliated. You will forget the shame of your youth and remember no more of the reproach of your widowhood. For your Maker is your husband. The Lord Almighty is his name. The Holy One of Israel is your Redeemer. He is called the God of all earth. The Lord will call you back as if you were a wife deserted and distressed in spirit, a wife who married young, only to be rejected, says your Lord, says your God. For a brief moment I abandoned you, but with deep compassion I will bring you back. In a surge of anger, I hid
my face. Technical difficulties. There you go. Good job.
I hid my face from you for a moment, but with everlasting kindness I will have compassion on you, says the Lord your Redeemer. To me, this is like the days of Noah, when I swore that the waters of Noah would never again cover the earth. So now I have sworn not to be angry with you, never to rebuke you again. Though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken, nor my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord, who has compassion on you. Afflicted city, lashed by storms and not comforted, I will rebuild you with stones of turquoise, your foundations with lapis lazuli. I will make your battlements of ruby, your gates of sparkling jewels, and all your walls of precious stones. All your children will be taught by the Lord, and great will be their peace. In righteousness you will be established. Tyranny will be far from you. You will have nothing to fear. Terror will be far removed. It will not come near you. If anyone does attack you, it will not be my doing. Whoever attacks you will surrender to you. See, it is I who created the blacksmith, who fans the coals into flame and forges a weapon fit for his work. And it is I who have created the destroyer to wreak havoc. No weapon forged against you will prevail, and you will refute every tongue that accuses you. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and this is their vindication from me, declares the Lord.
Thank you. I promise you my message is going to be shorter than this. But I wanted to read the whole chapter because I want to challenge you to go home and read it. And maybe study it and see if God has something else to, you know, to speak to you about in your own heart and for your own life and for your own family. So let's pray really quick for the young ones and dismiss them. Lord, we thank you so much this morning. We thank you because we have so much to be thankful for. We have you, Lord. We have our Redeemer. We have our Maker. We have our friend. We have our Father. We have you, Lord, and we have a lot of things to be thankful for. Lord, I pray that you'd speak to every one of us today. I pray that no one would leave this place the same, but we would leave knowing what we have in you. Lord, I pray that you'd bless every ears here and that every word that is spoken that would come straight from you. In Jesus' name, amen. Why can't I just leave with the kids? Be nice, huh? This is a season where a lot of people say, I hate the holidays. I hate Thanksgiving. What to be thankful for? Or a lot of times, you know, even if we don't say it out loud, we say, what is there to be thankful for? And this chapter of the Bible starts with God is asking us to sing. God is asking us to praise Him. God is asking us for a spirit of joy to fill our hearts that will come out and flow out of our mouths. And the reason for that, if you look at where the nation of Israel at that time, maybe they didn't have much to sing about. And if maybe if we focus on our lives, maybe we'll focus on the trouble, maybe we'll focus on things that will not give us so much to be thankful for or to praise God for. But if you take a chapter before, what's the chapter before Isaiah 54? Isaiah 53. You guys are very smart. Good job. So Isaiah 53 talks about what? It talks about the cross. It talks about the way, the hope, as we were singing a few minutes ago. It talks about the hope that God gave us. And based on that hope, based on what Jesus did on the cross, it's okay for us to come and sing. It's no longer the dark picture that we were seeing before. It's a new day. It's a new life that God is giving us. Even if my life was fruitless, even if I was a childless before, even if everything was going wrong in my life, today is a new day because the cross happened. Because Jesus on the cross took away all of my sins, took away all of your sins, took everything that hindered us from seeing the Father, took all of that away and gave us His life. You know, imagine if you're in debt. Imagine if you have a couple of tickets, maybe larger tickets. Imagine if everything is going wrong in your life and someone comes and has the perfect life and says, I'm going to replace this. I'm going to take yours and I'll give you mine. That's kind of what Jesus did, but on a larger scale. Because my sin was not just going to make me upset for the holidays. I wasn't just going to be lonely for the holidays. I wasn't just going to struggle with my bills. I wasn't just going to struggle with the doctor visit. I was going to struggle with eternity in hell. I was going to struggle with separation from God for eternity. And Jesus came and He fixed that. Jesus came and wrote my name in the book of life if I choose Him by faith. Jesus came and paid for my debt. That's why the prophet is coming to tell us, sing. Why are you so upset? Why are you so sad? Sing. There is a hope here. There is a good reason for you and for me to be joyful. Sing because you will have children. Before you were called barren, before you were called childless, before you were called fruitless, but now after the cross, after the marriage between the church, between the nation, between the believers and Jesus, guess what? There will be children coming forth. You are no longer going to be childless. You are no longer going to have this shame that you've always had all of your life. Because that was the biggest shame back during that time. So I don't know what it is that the enemy is calling you. I don't know what it is that the enemy keeps putting in front of your face every morning and calling you by that sin or calling you by that circumstance or by this situation. That's all going to change today. That's all going to take a 360, no, 180. 360 is coming back. So that's all going to, I hope that's not the case. You will go from barren to a mother of multitude. You will go from a curse to be a blessing. You will go from called sick to be healthy. Whatever it is that you wanna, that you've been called, that's going to change because He paid the price on the cross. Because He switched His life with your life. Sing because you will labor. How can the pain of labor bring singing? It can bring singing because I know my child is coming. I know that something beautiful is coming out of this pain. So when we go through pain as a church, when we go through pain as believers, guess what? We know that this pain is going to create something amazing in my life. It's no longer pain that's just because it's pain. No, it's pain that we love. It's pain that we enjoy. It's pain that causes the apostle to say, consider it all joy when you go through troubles and tribulations because this will purify you. This will make you better. In Psalm 125, it says, those who sow in tears will reap with songs of joy. Those who go out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves of them. God has a lot for us to take back. God has a lot for us to gain. God has a lot for us to put our hands on, but sometimes we need to put in some work. We need to put in some work, and some of that work could be painful. And I'm not talking right now, I'm not talking about work in the church level. I'm not talking about work in the kingdom level. I'm talking about work in our life. Work that's connected to us. Challenges that I have to, things, decisions I have to make in my own life. Challenges that I have to face. Things that God has been pointing at for a long time that I have to address. We must labor for that, for those children to come out. Enlarge the place of your tent. And notice here that it says tent. Back in the days, it used to be a temple that people went to worship God. Now, after Jesus came, it's a church that's going out to preach the gospel to people. The church needs to expand. We are not going to sit here and wait for people to come to see God, but we have to be the image and picture of Jesus that goes out to all the nation. Expand or enlarge that the place of your tent. There are so many places that we haven't seen yet. So many places that God has on his heart to give us. So many areas, so many families, so many souls that God is trying to reach out to. It's our job to go to them. It's no longer we wait for them. It's our job to go out. It's your job to claim what God has for you. It's your job to claim the victories and the gifts that God has for you. There's so many of them. We gotta enlarge, we have to enlarge the place of our tent. The tent is movable, as I mentioned. The tent is movable. And if you look at Jesus' ministry, where did he preach? Where did he reach out to people? Everywhere. Was it just in the temple or the synagogue or it was everywhere. He went around, he just walked around everywhere. He went to the beach, he went to the mountain, he went to people's homes. He went to weddings, he went to funerals. He went to the sick, he went to the rich people's homes. He went everywhere. He was enlarging that tent. That tent back in the days was a picture of, like the church very much. He was taking it everywhere. Those who couldn't come to him, he went to them. He, many times it says, he had to go through this path or he had to go through this road. Because there is someone in this place at that particular time was waiting for him. But here's the thing. When we enlarge the place of our tent, we must enlarge our curtains. We must enlarge the coverage of God. We must enlarge the coverage of Jesus. We cannot start. We cannot claim a territory without taking the curtains there. Because that will be, something confuses me in real estate when they say the lot size versus the building size. You know, you can buy a house that's 20,000, square feet, and then the house is like 500 square feet. Okay, so I'm going to put a bid here, and then everyone else will sleep outside. This is no longer the case. This is no longer the case because in the church, everyone is invited to the Holy of Holies. Every one of us, everyone we go to, there is no one going to be outside in the yard and someone would come into the holies and someone would go. No. This was done a long time ago. After Jesus came, he split that temple and everyone is invited. So as a church, as families, as individuals, when you enlarge the place of your tent, when you go out to people, when you start a ministry, when you start doing something for God, enlarge the curtains as well. Those curtains inside were reflecting the beauty of God. Those curtains must be enlarged just to fit the same size of the tent, the same size of the place of our tent. It must be the curtains. But it doesn't just come with that. It comes with strengthening our. Hold on, let me read. Before we go to the lengthen your cords and stretch your stacks, the Lord says, do not hold back. Do you feel like we hold back sometimes as a church or as Christians? Do you feel like sometimes we like, oh, you know what, it doesn't make sense, or I'm tired, or there are many reasons to say, for God to tell us, do not hold back. Lord, these people, they're about 20,000. You give them something to eat. But there's so many. Do not hold back. Invite them all to eat. Do not hold back. Back in 2 Kings 13, the king of Israel went to Elisha and told them about the king of Syria that's about to attack them and giving them a lot of trouble. And Elisha told him, take an arrow and just, you know, swing it out of that window. And he did. And he said, this is a sample, or this is a picture of the victory that God will give you over the Syrian king, right? And then he was like, stomp or strike the ground. And the king of Israel struck the ground 3 times. And that made Elisha so angry. Actually, this is the first time that says that about Elisha. It made him so angry. He was like, why did you strike the ground 3 times only? The victory was given to you, but you were claiming only a small amount of it. If you had struck the ground 5 or 6 times, you could have annihilated the king and his armies. But you struck the ground 3 times only, therefore you're only going to have 3 victories. If God has given us the victory, why are we being cheap about it? If God has given us territories, why are we holding back? Do not hold back. We hold back sometimes because of fear of what happened to others. We hold back because sometimes we look at our supplies and what we have. But that's not, we didn't have anything to begin with. God is asking us not to hold back while looking at Him. God is telling us to enlarge our ministry, enlarge our life, enlarge our blessings, enlarge our giving, enlarge everything we do in our life, based on what He has, not based on what we have. Are you ready to strike the ground? Because I'm tired of just striking once or twice. You know, the enemy's not going away. Really, he's not going away. Until the day Jesus takes us back, he is not going away. And until then, we need to do what? Strike the ground. Until then, we need to keep fighting. Until then, we need to keep believing the Word of God that He gave us the victory already. We just need to believe it and walk in it. Lengthen your cords and stretch the stacks. Remember I told you about the curtains? What is going to hold the curtains? What is going to bring the glory of God, the cover of God? Who's going to bring that? Those cords, those stacks. Are we ready to have some cords in this church? Because one person cannot do it. I know he says that all the time. And I used to think, oh, he just wants me to preach. But he's not interested, and no one in this church is interested to be one pillar. It will not work. If we want to expand to different ministries, if we want to expand to different cities, if we want to expand to different categories, whatever it is we want to expand to, it's going to take more than just one person. They must be stretched. Those cords must be lengthened. The stacks must go deeper and deeper and deeper in the ground because the building is going to be bigger. The curtains are going to be heavier. One person cannot do it. 2 people cannot do it. The larger we want to go, and remember what he said? Do not hold back. Do not hold back. There is an invitation on behalf of the church. There is an invitation that God is looking for people to work. God is looking for people to send. God is looking for people to strengthen this tent. Are we ready to do that? This is something you can pray about. This is something that if God doesn't speak to you about, no matter how many times we can preach about it, it's not going to click. But here's the thing. There is work to do. There are places to claim. So when we go out Saturday night, you know, we need to bring the curtain there, right? We go out twice a month. There is a curtain being extended there. There is a land being claimed over there. But you know what? There are pillars there. There are pillars there. There are people that are going deeper and deeper and deeper into the Word of God and going there to carry God's glory to that place. My prayer for you and for myself is that we would strengthen those, that we would become one of those pillars. Your children will dispossess nations your children. God is not interested in hired laborers. God is interested to give his kingdom to his children. And as his children, he's asking us to work with him. As his children, he's asking us to take over the family business. As his children, he's asking us to put our hands with him and to go forward. They will fix ruined cities. Can I hear one of those good hallelujahs? Can I hear one of those? Because there are a lot of ruined cities around us. There are a lot of our ruined homes around us. There are a lot of ruined souls around us. And if we don't do it, who's going to do it? That's what God is promising. Sing because I have given you those. Sing because those cities are going to be yours. Sing because those families are going to be yours. Your children will do that. Sing because you're going to have a new husband. You're getting married. Congrats. Just in case you guys didn't know. You're getting married. Do not be afraid. You will not be put to shame. Do not fear disgrace. You will not be humiliated. You will forget the shame of your youth and remember no more the reproach of your widowhood. God, and guess who's your new husband is? It says the Lord, your maker. The Lord, your redeemer. What did the redeemer do back in the days? When Boaz was the redeemer for Ruth, what did he do? He had to pay what she owed. Anything that she owed in the past, he had to pay for it. He had to be rich enough to supply her with her needs in the present time. And she will be she will have his inheritance just like anyone else. And our Redeemer did the same thing for us. If you go back to chapter 53, he paid for all of our debts on the cross. He is ready to supply us with what we need right now. And we have the inheritance with him. That's our new husband. That's that new relationship that God is trying to create with his church and with the body of the church. Sing because you are no longer going to be humiliated. Sing because you are no longer going to be rejected. Sing because whatever reason this world rejected you, whatever reason you were rejected from others, God will not reject you. God is here for the long run. God is here to say, he said, I do. And once you say, I do, there is no breaking that. This is going on. That covenant is going on forever. You know, the reason why I love Starbucks, by the way, is that I proposed to Dina at Starbucks. And every time I walk around, I drive around that Starbucks, and I drive around there a few times a week, I remember that day. I remember that covenant. I know it wasn't our wedding day, but you know. But I remember that day that I asked her to marry me, and she said yes. It was a struggle to bring her hand back. She stalled, and she was like, oh my gosh. I was like, can you just bring your hand down a little bit? It's very hard. I'm on one knee here, and I'm trying to reach up there, and finally she did it. So seriously, it was a struggle. That's why I started doing pull-ups after. Anyway, but that was the moment we decided that we're going to start our life together. We had our wedding later, but that was the moment I asked her. That's the moment she said yes. And our life started together as one. You know, if God is coming today and asking for your hand, what would you say? And would you continue to go on with it? Or would you say, yes, I will, but just in case, I have another relationship on the side? If God is coming to ask for your hand, what will your answer be? You don't have to say it out loud. Just answer in your heart. Is there someone else in your life stopping you from this relationship? Is there something else in your life that's stopping you from this relationship? Okay, because I guarantee you that everyone in this room, including myself, we tried it before. We tried to have relationships with things, with people, and it never worked. But this new relationship is different because he is your maker. He knows you very well. You know, he knows you very well. He knows your weaknesses, and he is willing to take you as you are. He's not asking you to change, and then he will take you. No, he's willing to take you as you are. He took me as I am. And let me tell you, if he took me, he can take anyone. If he proposed to me, if he said, I want you to be my child, Trust me, anyone else can make it. God is asking for your hand. His riches will supply you. His love will take you. And it's even if you were forgotten, even if you were seeking for a little while, He has an everlasting love. Everlasting love. How long is that? Everlasting, right? Everlasting. Sing because God will rebuild you. And right here it says, you've been tormented, you've been mistreated, you've been ruined, you've been through a lot. And guess what? I know all of it. And I'm still loving you. I'm still going to take you. But not just that. I'm going to start you from all, from zero, from ground zero. We're going to start building some new foundations. I'm going to rebuild you. But not what the world told you who you're going to be. Not what you thought you wanted to be, but who I desire for you to be. That's my story for you. A few months ago, Dina and I had this revelation of, what are we doing with our kids? Are we writing their story? Or are we letting God, are we just helping them to read God's story for them? Because I started looking at my life, I started looking at some of my actions and our actions, and I'm like, wait a second, is that me or God? Is that me or God? Elijah's a very kind boy. He's just very kind. He's a gentle giant. But I didn't like that. I want him to be aggressive. I want him to be Egyptian, you know? And when you get in a game, okay, you step over everyone. That's what you do. Thank you. I mean, God gave you elbows for a reason. Use them. So that was not the case. He's a kind boy, you know? And I had to really repent because I felt like, what are we doing? Whose story am I hoping for him? Is it my story or is it his story? That's a mistake that we had to repent. I had to repent. And I had to say, no, God, now I have a different vision for not just for them, but for my life as well. Whose story am I following? God has a different story. Really, God has a different story. Your parents might have built you to be someone. Your society or our society, whether you're coming from the Middle East or coming from here or there, maybe the society helped to build you as a certain individual, to give you certain values, and based on those values, you were built. But God has different issues. God has different story for you. God has a different design for you. And that design fits His purpose in your life. Problem is, when I try to design myself, when I try to design people around me, it does not fit the purpose. And that's a problem. You know, I use this analogy with the kids all the time. I tell them, what does this car run on? They say, gas. I was like, what if I put water in the tank? Would it work? And they say, of course not. What if I put diamond in the... And Gracie was like, what? Diamond? Yes, say more. And she was like, maybe it will work. But it will not work. See, we try to make the purpose. This car's purpose is to take us from A to B. This car's purpose is trying to get on gas. But sometimes we try to put different kind of fuel, and it never runs. And it will never run. Same thing with our lives. Sometimes we build our lives a certain way that will never, ever run. Trying to skip a few things. Can I share with you a few verses? Long, actually, not a few. Quite a few verses. But this right here is my story. These few verses that I'm about to share. And please take that home. This was my story. And the story of so many. But it will deliver my point in this. That God doesn't just take us from our filth and just, okay, fine, just come. Just come. No. He takes us from our filth. He takes us from our failures. He takes us from whatever it is that we were in, and He makes us into something new. Listen to what the Bible says in Ezekiel 16, starting verse 4. And please read this at home again. Okay, so that's your second challenge. Number one, go back and read Isaiah 54, the whole chapter, a few times, and then Ezekiel 16. Ezekiel 16, 4, it says, On the day you were born, your cord was not cut, nor you were washed with water to make you clean, nor were you wrapped with salt or wrapped in clothes. No one looked at you with pity or had compassion enough to do any of these things for you. Rather, you were thrown out into the open field. From the day you were born, you were despised. God is the prophet here is telling Israel, telling the nation of Israel, telling you and me that since the day you were born, no one really cared for you. Yeah, I know your parents cared for you. Yeah, but I'm talking about spiritual care. He's talking to the nation of Israel, and this could hit home for a lot of us. Then I passed by you, and this is the part that I want you to highlight. Then I passed by you, saw you kicking about in your blood, and then as you lay there in your blood, I said to you, live. Can you say this to yourself today? Live. Can you say it to the person next to you? Live. Live. Boaz, live. Okay, next time, preach. Live. Okay, live. He walked by and he said, live. I made you grow like a plant of the field. You grew and developed and entered puberty. Your breasts had formed and your hair had grown. Yet you were stark naked. Later, that's verse 8. Later I passed by and then I looked at you and I saw that you were old enough for love. I spread the corner of my garment over you and covered your naked body. I gave you my solemn oath and entered into a covenant with you, declares the sovereign Lord, and you became mine. Listen to this. I bathed you with water and washed the blood from you and put ornaments on you. I clothed you with an embroidered dress and put sandals of fine leather on you. And then it goes all the way. It says, put earrings on you, beautiful crown, and put a crown on your head. So you were adorned with gold and silver. Your clothes were fine linen and costly fabric and embroidered with clothes. Your food was honey, olive oil, and the finest flour. You became very beautiful and rose to be a queen. This is what God did in my life, and this is what God is doing in your life. This is what God's mission is, to take us from being thrown on the field, about to die, just a few breaths away from dying. He took us from that. He clothed us. He made us his, and then he kept beautifying all of us, that the church became a queen. The beauty covered that church that was full of shame, that nation that was full of shame and failure and about to die, if not already dead. He said, live, and started speaking his word and started doing his work in our lives. This is what God's plan for you and for me. You're going to say it's a little too late. It's a little too late because I have already lived 36 years. 4 years, 20 years, 10 years, whatever it is, no, it's never too late with God. It's never too late with God. Have you seen what God did in Peter's life? How about Saul? Going from a murderer, killing people, going from destroying Christianity into the apostle for all of nations, for all nations. Have you seen what God did in Moses' life? He rebuilt this life. He was groomed to be the prince of Egypt, right? You guys saw the movie? You know, he was groomed to be the prince of Egypt. But God had a different plan where he had to tear him apart and rise up the man that God wanted. Can I say this? May God tear us apart. May God bring us to the ground if there is a little bit still left in us so he can build his building, so he can write his story. So he can make us who he intended for us to be. It could happen. It could happen today. Matter of fact, I believe in faith that it will happen today. May God take this church from where it's at right now to where He desires for it to be. But that will start with all of us. Church is not a building. It's a tent, remember? It's movable. It's movable. We're going to go from one place to another. And those stones, I mean, if I had time, I would go through the stones that and the meanings of those stones, because it's beautiful. Like, just quick, you know. Those stones that God is trying to found His believers, His church, to found you and me, you know, God, these stones were used back in the days on the high priest's garment. These stones were used for beautification. These stones were people put on like diamonds and all these things. But God is saying that this is the foundation of who you are now. This is the foundation of God's church. This is the foundation of the believers. God is not trying to build something cheap. He's trying to build something that only Him can build. That's what He's trying to do. And the foundation from the inside, it says here, it's the sapphire. The foundation will be the same as on the windows. So inside of us, who we are, we're based on Christ. And when we look out based on who? Christ as well. So in our hearts, in our lives, we are based on Christ. And when we look out to the world based on who? Christ as well. Saying because God already gave you victory, and I'm almost done. Saying because God already gave you victory. And this is one of my favorite verses that says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. But guess what? Before we get to that, there are enemies. There are storms coming. There are going to be battles for your life. There are going to be battles for our church. God didn't say He's taking that away. But He's also saying, I did not ask Him to do it. He did not send them. He might have allowed them, but He did not send them. He might have allowed them because we need some training. He might have allowed them because we need some discipline. He might have allowed them because He wanted to see where we are and He wanted to strengthen us. But here is the key part. He already gave us victory. That those weapons that are formed against us will not prosper. They will not prevail. We are already victorious in Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, let me ask you, can you bring whatever it is that you're going through that's keeping you from singing? Can you bring it through the gate of the cross? Can you have it pass by? You know, when we go to the airport, I have to go first through, well, you have to go first through they check your ticket, and then you have to go through security. And in my case, I have to go through, what is it called? Extra security. Not kidding. What is it called? Random security. Random check. Yeah, every time I have to go through random check. But that's fine. It's okay. It's for our safety. Not because I'm dangerous, but, you know. So for some of you, have to go through two. I have to go maybe through four or five. But that's okay. But can we bring that situation through the cross and see what is harder? What is harder, the financial struggle that you have right now or the eternal struggle that you were going to have? What is more valuable to God, that little gift that you want or His Son that He gave up for you? Can we bring it over to the cross and see if it can pass just through these two gates, just like you normal people? You know, just these two gates. And see if they fit there. And ask yourself these questions. And if they fit, then sing. If you know that the cross can fix it, then sing. If you know that the cross has a solution for you and for me, then sing. If you know that you're no longer barren, then sing. If you know that you're no longer husbandless, that's a word, then sing. If you know that God is trying to build something amazing with your life, then sing. If you know that God already gave you the victory over everything that will face you, then sing. A few weeks ago, Dina sends, I sent her devotions, and the other day I sent her a devotion, and she replies back, and she's like, why are you always talking about struggles and suffering? And I was like, because we will sing after. Because I know it's for our own good. I don't mind it. You know, I really don't. Last time in February, I shared about rejoicing in the struggle. And then the following week, Elijah needed surgery, Dina needed surgery, a couple of my biggest clients left me, and it was a great week. I mean, let me tell you, but you know what? There was peace of God. And in that week, something happened in our life and in our business that we've never experienced before. Because it's for our training. It's for our good. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much this morning. I thank you so much because you're extending your love to every one of us. Lord, I thank you because you are willing and you want and you're asking to take us the way we are. It doesn't matter how messed up we look. It doesn't matter how bad we look. It doesn't matter how far we went away from you. It doesn't matter how diseased we are. It doesn't even matter if we're dead. It doesn't matter to you because you can have victory over it all. Lord, we are tired of being barren. We are tired of being fruitless. We are tired of being a curse, not a blessing. We are tired of being stuck in the same place, individually and as a church. We are tired of that. Lord, we want to enlarge today. Why don't you pray this in your heart? God wants you to expand. He wants you to expand in your victories. He wants you to expand in the territories. He wants to expand your ministry, your relationships, his time with you, your time with him. He wants you to expand. Why are you staying in the same place? Lord, can you come? Can you come and rebuild? Lord, can you come and rebuild, please? There are so many souls that were given names and titles and probably lost hope. But as we heard earlier, in the cross there is hope. Lord, would you come and renew the hope in our hearts? Lord, we don't want to leave this place the same. We're not letting you go until you bless us. We're not letting you go unless we receive a word from you. We're not letting you go until you come and heal our past. We're not letting you go until we see the blueprints that you have for us. We're not letting you go until you do something in every single life in this place. Lord, we know that you have enough for us. And not just for us, but you have enough for us and to overflow. That when we leave this place, we will overflow to others. Take a few minutes. Take a few moments. And just ask God where he wants you to enlarge. Where he wants you to expand. Lord, we know that there is a lot more than this that we see. Abraham didn't even have children, and you promised him that his descendants are going to be like the stars. Cannot even count them. Lord, we know that you have high hopes for us, great plans for us. Would you give us the faith to see them today? Lord, we believe in your ability to do. We believe in your ability to change. We believe in your ability to bring beauty out of the ashes and to bring life out of death. Lord, we praise you today. We sing today because you died before. Because you died for our sins so we can live today. Lord, no one loved us or will ever love us the way you did. Lord, will you create that connection between us and you today? A connection that can never be broken. We thank you because your covenant never goes away. Just take a couple of more minutes and think about what it could be if you say yes today to him. Don't think about what's keeping you from saying yes. Think about what you could have if you say yes. He's asking. He's on the cross asking. The best we can do is kneel on one knee to ask, but he is on the cross asking. Will you come? Will you accept me? Because I'm accepting you.